This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, the young and the old. And folks like me who don't quite know whether they're young or old, I welcome you here to the Radio Reading Services, to this program that's called All Things Being Equal. And I just want to welcome you, as always, right here, live and in color. And we're going to discuss some issues and bring you some books, bring you some thoughts, and let you know some of what's happening in the community. One of the things that's happening is that my friend Robert Shoemake is with the Hamilton County Disability Services Group, and they're having a special meeting in Columbus today discussing all the benefits and amenities that are being created to help people with disabilities, people like you, people like me, people like my friend Robert, and others with all types of disabilities, cognitive, doesn't matter, with the knowledge that they too make a difference and they can make things happen and that they are their own best advocates. And so I'm right here, right now, and live and in color. And one of the things that I wanted to do is to just let you know that we'll be here for about a half an hour. And if you want anything, please give me a ring on the phone or email me, text me, harris.robertlee@gmail.com. So we shall begin. I'm going to introduce you to a historical figure, very interesting woman. Her real name is Mary Fields. She gained the distinction of being a very interesting lady. She was over 6 feet tall, big lady. And in the 1800s, she was, among many things, she was a stagecoach driver. Her nickname in the industry is called Stagecoach Mary. And Stagecoach Mary is a character because she was a black woman, former slave, or born to a slave. I can't remember whether she was herself. But we're going to read some of her book, and so we'll find out. We'll be reading her story. And let me make a little note here so I know what time we begin, so I know about what time we're going to end today. So, are you ready to begin, folks? I am. Stagecoach Mary Fields. And let me make one quick note, so I don't know what time I started, so I don't know what time we're going to end. Dun, dun, dun. Making my notes. All righty. Airtime without talking is crazy. But I'm guilty. I've done it before, and I'm doing it right now, and I don't mean to. And okay, folks, here we go. Stagecoach Mary, the story of Black Mary, or Stagecoach Mary, by James A. Franks. And my son gave me this book because my friend Willie Moore, who is an animator, is putting together a story about this woman. And we're using a local actress to play the major role of Stagecoach Mary. And she's local here in Cincinnati. And she's been in several plays, has written a few, and has worked with the Playhouse in the Park and some other entities. And, as I said, by James A. Franks. And the introduction, as it would go, is right here, folks. The preface. And let me read this. As I did research for my early books, James Wells, a Montana, and Mary Wells, a character important to Montana's history, and in my family history, kept coming forward. I first heard about this character from my grandmother. I'm sorry, my grandfather, Joseph Kump, who worked at St. Peter's Mission and married my grandmother. There, on July 23, 1895, this person, Mary Wells, Mary Fields, Black Mary, was much loved by all. She was a friend of my grandfather, a protector of my grandmother, and God sent Mary and the sisters and her sisters to St. Peter's Mission. I personally feel that her devotion to Mary and the mission was never fully appreciated. I've known her locally, how she was an outstanding person. Mary Fields, immortalized in Charlie Russell's pen and ink sketch, A Quiet Day, I hope this book will do her honor. I am careful, grateful to the Ursuline Convent of Great Falls, Montana, and to my sisters, with whom I spent many hours. I am grateful also to my grandparents, Joseph and Mary Gump, G-U-M-P, for giving me this story and this legacy. What was storytelling for the blacks and Native Americans here in the New World called America? Was it a way to preserve their history? A way to pass on traditions, foods, and cultures, storytelling was of all and first of all a most important vehicle by which history was passed down. Since the whites tried hard to destroy both cultures, to the Native American and to the African American. In the same ways the Indians and blacks would gather their families around the fire in the evening to tell stories, they would begin with uncanted descriptions of what was going on around them. How in the beginning there was no earth, only water. The only living things were two spirits who floated above listlessly in the company of a large duck-like bird. The spirit grew tired of all the water and wanted to be dry and wanted to be on dry land. The continents, the bird dove down, and brought up and from the bottom. The spirits passed and pressed the mud into bricks, and it dried, and they cast over the waters, causing the land to just materialize and rolled in the mud in their fingers and threw it into the new earth. To create man and woman, the spirits next moved and made the earth and the images of all the creatures blowing on them the beginning on life. The newly created man and woman began to marry, have families, and become the people of the land. The greatest creatures, the Indians and the buffalo, to the blacks, it was cattle. This radical tale served as both entertainment and instruction. It was also a form of worship and prayer. The tales would rise up and would stress morals to the youth and were always taught they would achieve greatness by their efforts. Storytelling is important to understand. It is important to understand that these two cultures, blacks and red, because it is only the stories that are similar. It's always these stories that are similar. many other traditions and herbs brought to the Americas by the blacks who were slaves, enslaved, and by the Native Americans who also they tried to enslave. If the whites could destroy the culture, they could destroy the will of the people. But the storytelling did service, and it did survive. And the tales still go on today. The telling of these are very important in both cultures. It is done not only in words, but setting around a fire, but also by entertainment and dance and song and art, or by deeds of the warriors and the battles that were fought. The youth are taught to observe all aspects of nature, as well as to look at the sides of the trees and understand what is light and what is dark and what is bark and what is life after death and what is life. Their eyes are trained to penetrate the depths of the darkness, to understand the animals, no matter how small, were respected because they showed the people how to gather food, how to survive. It is a mystery how people from such far distances could arrive and understand what the world was going on here. This is the story about a black woman from Tennessee who became a protector to a half-bred mountain, Montana Indian. In life, these two great cultures coalesced. It is the story of the fields known as Black Mary, as it was told to one by my grandmother and grandfather. The story would include some historical back by the Tennessee. It reminds me of David Crockett here. No ad-libbing, just let me read this thing. The story will include some historical background in Tennessee, which is important in the showing how the Indians were driven out and the black slaves brought into the area. Tennessee, chapter 1. More fields were born in Hicktown Country, Tennessee, in the 1832, was born a slave on a farm owned by the Doom family in Hickman County, in Middle Tennessee, southwest of Nashville, is an area with large farms. The term farm was used in Tennessee rather than plantation. The farms responded, the farms required fewer slaves to plant and to harvest. Their tobacco, their corn, and their cotton crops, though they did than did the big plantations. Tennessee, like most of the New World, was originally populated by Native American Indians, known as the mountain builders, mound builders. They have been in this area for over 1,000 years. The Cherokee Indians claimed Middle Tennessee as their hunting ground. The Chickamauga Indians lived here near the presence of Chattanooga. Father Cherokee, Chickasaw rather, occupied West Tennessee. In 1540, a party of the Spanish explorers led by Hernando de Soto resided along the side of Indian villages in the valley of Tennessee River, killing many of the Indians for little or no reason, moved westward. De Soto became the first European to reach the Mississippi River, which he came upon in 1541. He left little of the Tennessee region. No other explorers entered the area until 1673, when James Needham and Gabriel Arthur of England explored the Tennessee River Valley. At least they didn't kill my Indians. Didn't kill any Indians as the De Sotos had. That year, that same year, Louis Gillette of Canada and Father Jacques Robert Cavalier de Salle claimed the entire Mississippi Valley from France and built Fort Ferdinand on the Chickasaw Bluffs. But the post was so isolated that the French soon had to abandon it, and the settlers began moving into the Mississippi Valley, which they called New France. In 1714, Charles Kajirui set up a French trading post at French Lick. France, Spain, and England all claimed the Tennessee region. All of these countries competed for the trade and family ship of the Indians. The dispute eventually became a contest between the British and the French. The French and Indian War broke out and became the British and French settlers of 1754. The British outnumbered the French by about 20-1, and the French won decisive victories around the early years of the war. And in 1763, the French surrendered to the British all claims to the lands east of the Mississippi. By 1869, permanent settlers lived in the Tennessee region. New white settlers began to come into the villages in North Carolina. Tennessee region belonged to the British colony of North Carolina, but vast, rugged mountains separated the settlers in Tennessee from the protections of mother colony. In 1772, a group of settlers established law and order, and they called it In the Wilderness by forming their own government. They drew up the first written constitution in North America. Folks, I'm going to say goodbye. I've been reading the story of Mary Fields. We're going to get into greater detail about her life. Folks, I've been doing some research on my dad. My dad was an artist, and he was born in the early 1900s, African-American. He went to the Art Academy. He graduated from the Art Academy. He won a traveling scholarship for the Art Academy. And next Friday, I'm going to be spotlighting some of the history of his life at the Pendleton here in Cincinnati, which is a location in Over the Rhine. Thanks for listening to me, and thanks for joining in. And I'll see you next week, live and in color, right here with the Radio Reading Services. I am just happy to be among you. You take care. Be blessed. See you next time. Have fun.